io piango per il dolore di mia madre e di mio padre, perché li ho visti, ho visto il loro dolore, l'ho vissuto.
I am crying because of my mother's pain, because of my father's pain. I've seen it, it has survived.
It is one of the darkest days in Venice's long history. Venetian Chief of Police, Filippo Cordova, gives the order on the 5th of December 1943. On the night of the 6th, the Venetian police raids the town's Jewish ghetto.
Infatti si dice che I pessimisti si sono salvati e gli ottimisti sono finiti ad Auschwitz.
The pessimists rescued themselves beforehand. The optimists ended up in Auschwitz.
Throughout the Shoah, hundreds of Venetian Jews were displaced. In the national conscience, the Italian collaboration is somewhat of a blind spot. The Italians like the narrative of Italiani brava gente, meaning that the Italians, in contrast to the Germans, remained decent even through fascism. This undercuts the 20 years of Mussolini's rule in the country while focusing on the 2 years of German occupation.
Le leggi razziali non sono solo, come dicono molti, un favore fatto da Mussolini a Hitler.
The racial laws are more than just a favor from Mussolini to Hitler. They were a shock for the Italian Jews. They were Italians first, even with suicides after the racial laws had passed.
Gli ebrei sono suicidati.
When the Germans arrived, many Venetian Jews took refuge in other countries or went into hiding. But nobody knew where they would be safe, and the Nazis could attack them anywhere, anytime.
Quando mio padre, I suoi genitori, sua sorella arrivano a Roma, vedono questo treno.
It became a journey of 38 hours. They were heavily delayed. Then they saw this train on the platform, not knowing that their other family was already captured in it. This train traveled to Auschwitz, and only one person from their family inside of it survived the Shoah.
Torna solo una persona.
The Shoah has arrived in Venice.
The first raid of the Jewish ghetto lately marked its 80th anniversary. To commemorate this, we will tell the stories of two Jewish families from Venice through fascism and the German occupation in 2 episodes. To do this, we met with their descendants. This is the 6th episode of Reschis Republik, the Venedig podcast. We are Christopher Weingart and Petra Reschi.
In the year 1922, Benito Mussolini grabs for the power in the Kingdom of Italy. He marches on Rome to frighten the Italian king, Vittorio Emanuele III. His strategy works. The king proclaims Mussolini the new prime minister on October 31st in 1922. Later, Mussolini becomes the dictator of Italy, establishing the first fascist rule in the world. Through this, he becomes somewhat of a blueprint for Hitler. Mussolini calls himself Duce, or leader, which Hitler adapts as Führer. He also established the Roman salute, which is very similar to the Hitler salute of fascist Germany. But different from the NSDAP, Mussolini's party doesn't make out the Jews as their main enemy.
Il fratello di mia nonna, quindi lo zio di mio padre, era il podestà, cioè il sindaco fascista di Ferrara.
The brother of my grandmother, the uncle of my father, was the fascist mayor of Ferrara, Enzo Ravenna. He was a Jew, but he also considered himself a patriot who thought that Mussolini would defend the national pride.
We meet with Saul Bassi in his apartment in Venice. His father, Roberto Bassi, was born in Venice in 1931. He lived through fascism and the Shoah and later wrote a book on his childhood and experience throughout World War II. He writes that the Italian Jews lived in relative safety. They could even have a career in Italy's fascist party, as is being shown by the example of his uncle.
Gli ebrei erano molto molto integrati, però c'era anche un problema.
The Italian Jews were very well integrated. They were Italians first, Jews second. Their names were Italian, and they made great contributions to the creation of the nation.
Contributi alla creazione della patria.
The Italian Jews feel safe, but the feeling is deceptive. In 1938, Mussolini passes the racial laws, which particularly target the Jewish population.
Con il 1938 gli ebrei hanno perso i loro diritti, sono diventati cittadini di serie B.
1938 was when the Jews lost their rights. They became second-class citizens. They lost their jobs, were excluded from school, teachers and lecturers weren't allowed to teach anymore, also in Venice.
Quindi dalle università.
This is Dario Calimani, the chairman of the Comunità Ebraica di Venezia, the Jewish community of Venice. We meet with him in his office in the old Jewish ghetto.
Hanno avuto il senso angosciante di non essere più.
They no longer were real Italian citizens, as they knew it, but almost enemies of the state.
Di essere il nemico dello Stato. Non capivano più chi erano e dove vivevano.
They didn't know any longer who they were and where they lived.
The racial laws have a far-reaching impact on the Italian Jews. Roberto Bassi, aged only 7, is excluded from school.
Con i negozi, con le stelle che
Jewish stores were marked with the Star of David, so nobody would buy there.
Nessuno andava più a comprare nel negozio.
There is a famous restaurant in Venice that had a sign in its showcase: no access for Jews and dogs.
Vietato l'ingresso agli ebrei e ai cani.
Harris Bar.
Esatto.
There is a strong sentiment in Italy called Italiani brava gente, which translated into English would be comparable to the legend of the fair English colonialists who came to civilize the native people in their empire. I wrote about this in my newsletter when I analyzed the film Il Comandante, but many Italians don't like to hear about this. I was targeted by a shitstorm almost instantly. I should go back home to Germany, is what they told me. This is a triggering issue for Italians, especially coming from a German.
Ed è molto importante dire che l'antisemitismo non nasce.
It's very important to say that the Italian antisemitism wasn't born with the racial laws. They weren't just a favor for Mussolini to Hitler, like many say.
L'antisemitismo esisteva prima, era molto forte.
Despite this, many people still believe in the myth of Italiani brava gente. One reason for this is that looking back, Italians suppress the thought of atrocities conducted by Italians and instead focus solely on the partisans' fight against the German occupiers.
Appunto, gli italiani hanno di fatto inventato il fascismo, l'hanno
esportato.
Gli italiani sono stati, siamo stati dei colonialisti e non vogliamo assolutamente parlarne.
Il mito degli italiani brava gente è un mito falso.
The myth of the good Italian is obviously wrong, even though there were those who were just and to help the Jews.
Dato rifugio agli ebrei.
It is true that the persecution of Jews in Italy wasn't as comprehensive as in Germany or Poland. Many Italians helped their Jewish compatriots and hid them under highest personal danger. But that is just one part of the story.
In famiglia abbiamo perso.
My father told me that we have lost about 12 people in our family in the Shoah.
Queste persone abitavano ognuna in un posto della città diverso.
These people obviously lived spread all over town.
E chi è andato a cercarli?
Who went and searched for them?
Sono stati gli italiani.
The Italians.
Cioè i tedeschi, i nazisti.
The Italians led the Germans to their houses. The Germans had no knowledge about Venice, so it was the Italians who betrayed the Jews. There was a large collaboration.
Quindi c'è stata una grossa collaborazione.
In 1941, the German Empire started the systematic murder of Jews in their occupied territories. The Italian Jews are still relatively safe, despite their tensioning position. Bassi explains to us that the fascist policy towards Jews was a form of segregation, but so far there were no deportations. Despite this, many Italian Jews flee after the introduction of the racial laws. Dario Calimani tells us that his wife's family recognized the signs of time right away and fled to Brazil. But not everybody is able to do that.
Dopo l'applicazione delle leggi razziali, la maggior parte delle famiglie è rimasta o perché
after the implementation of the racial laws, the majority of families stayed because they didn't have the means to go anywhere else. Others stayed, like in the case of my grandparents, because they thought this would pass over and they hoped things would change. Also, of course, the news was heavily
filtered.
The Italian Jews are in a state of uncertainty. They feel how their position deteriorates. They are being prohibited to visit Italy's beaches because the Italians say their presence would pollute the site. But still, as of now, the hardships aren't big enough for many Jews to leave behind their belongings and their homes. Until everything suddenly changes on September the 8th, 1943.
L'8 settembre c'è stato un grande entusiasmo.
There was a lot of excitement on the 8th of September. It was difficult to know what would happen then. Neither the Allied forces were gaining ground, and neither once they arrived, Italy would be liberated.
In 1943,
the Allied forces land on Sicily and overrun the Italian positions. After they have taken over Naples and march on Rome themselves, Italy signs an armistice with the Allies and leaves the Axis with the German Empire. But the Hitler regime is prepared.
Durch blitzartiges Zuschlagen hat die deutsche Wehrmacht die Erfüllung der von Badoglio unterzeichneten Kapitulationsbedingungen unmöglich gemacht.
The Wehrmacht has already sent 20 divisions into northern Italy. Now they easily take over the remains of the headless Italian state. They free Mussolini and install him as a leader of a puppet state, the Italian Social Republic.
Die Badoglio-Truppen haben kapituliert. Die deutschen Soldaten rücken in Rom ein.
That means that now the northern Italian Jews suddenly live under German occupation.
E infatti, la
My
scelta
family's
di
decision
Roma,
to make for Rome is based on the fact that this would move them closer to the front lines.
Part of Roberto Bassi's family lives in Rome. His aunt Alba, his mother's sister, lives in the Roman ghetto. The Germans demanded 50 kilograms of gold from the Roman Jews, which they collect hastily. Now, the Germans say the Jews had nothing to fear. A lie.
Mio nonno, che credo avesse 60 anni circa, quindi diciamo era vecchio.
My grandfather, who I believe was roughly 60 years old, said he wanted to stay in Venice to help the people in the Jewish retirement home in the ghetto. He told my father, what are they supposed to do with an old man like me?
Cosa vuoi che facciano a un vecchio come me?
The elderly people thought they might be brought to labor camps, but no one would ever have believed that they were about to be transported to extermination camps.
Credere che ci fossero I campi di sterminio.
On the 10th of September 1943, the Nazis capture Venice. Now that the Germans control the city, the Venetian Jews are under grave danger. Dario Calimani's grandparents remain in the city. Roberto Bassi's family hides on Pelestrina, the narrow island in the south of the lagoon. There, they try to plan what to do. Charles Bassi brought his father's book to read from it.
Il 15 ottobre,
October 15th, everything was ready. A last postcard arrived from Rome, urging us to leave. In a cryptic fashion, it let us know that the climate down there would be better for us, so the die was cast.
The postcard is from Roberto's aunt Alba. She offers to host the family in Rome. The vicinity to the front, the relatives, the apparent safety, all this convinces the Bassis. They decide on the following day, October 16th, 1943, to make for Rome.
On
October 16th, we were ready to leave when in the morning my mother was taken ill. I still remember how totally exhausted she looked as the old family doctor gave her something to calm her down. Towards evening, she began to feel better.
Despite wanting to start their journey first thing in the morning, the buses are only able to depart in the evening. It's a cold and wet night, Roberto Bassi writes. Finally, they reach the train, but the train only advances slowly. It often has to stop for a long time. It's not easy to travel through a country at war. Overall, it takes them 38 hours to get to Rome. They reach the city in the early hours of October 18th, where they witness something strange.
Mi affaccio al finestrino del corridoio e, insieme agli altri,
I knew that we were to get off at the next stop, Roma Termini.
In
the window I could see a long stationary goods wagon, a few platforms away from our own. In fact, it was a livestock train, with small slats at the top of the sides to let in air. At each carriage, either on the running board itself or the ground nearby, stood a German soldier. Someone murmured, "It's a train full of Allied prisoners being taken north." Another said, "Can't be." I saw the hands gripping the slats. They were a child's hands. Someone else said they are Jews, rounded up in Rome by the Germans. Everyone had something to say, but the consensus of opinion that the occupants of the cattle trucks were civilians, probably Jews.
A maggioranza decidono che si tratta di civili, probabilmente ebrei. Mia madre diventa di un pallone.
My mother went deadly pale. My father held her hand and the two of them muttered a few words to each other.
In the night from the 15th to the 16th of October, 365 German security forces shut off the Roman ghetto. It is Sabbath, the day when Jews lay down their work. Today this Sabbath is known as the Black Sabbath. The Germans arrest 1,035 Jews in the entire city. The deportation to the extermination camps starts on October 18th. The cattle wagons that the buses see on their arrival in Rome is the transport to Auschwitz.
Quando mio padre, I suoi genitori, sua sorella arrivano a Roma, vedono questo treno.
And they saw this train on the platform, not knowing that their other family was already captured in it. This train traveled to Auschwitz. And only one person from their family inside of it survived.
Torna solo una persona. Loro sono andati a Roma.
They went to Rome, thinking that Rome was safer at that point.
E arrivano a Roma nel momento.
And they arrived in the very moment the Roman Jews were deported.
The buses arrive in Rome and are suddenly left on their own. The relatives where they wanted to stay had been deported. On the 23rd of October, the transport reaches Auschwitz. Roberto Bassi's aunt Alba is killed on the same day. Only one member of his Roman family survived the concentration camps. The others never return. Dario Calimani's family decides to flee to Switzerland in the last minute. There they live in poverty, but also in safety. Other Jews from Venice also leave the country as long as they are still able to. Some stay in Italy and hide in churches or with friends. Before the Second World War starts, roughly 2,000 Jews live in Venice. Many will never see their home ever again.
But not every Venetian Jew is able or willing to flee. Venice is their home. Their families have been living here for centuries. They aren't able to know, and maybe also don't want to know, in what kind of danger they are. Just like for the Roman Jews, the noose is tightening for the Jews of Venice. And then comes the 5th of December 1943. We will talk about that day's events in the second part of the episode. This is the podcast Reschi's Republik. We are Christopher Weingart and Petra Reschi.